we also have to skip or blaze through some of these. The official talk title is Optimization Techniques for EVM Implementation. As you can see from, this is the proof that the title is too long because it didn't fit into the box there. So I think the better one would be how to build a fast EVM.
Just if you hold it on the button.
Yeah, I can actually hear like high pitch.
Cover it for a while.
Okay, thanks. but to be precise, I think we have to mention interpreter in the title, so this is not a talk about how to do fancy stuff with just-in-time compilers, ahead-of-time compilers, or anything like that. The other thing I'm going to talk about here will be related to pretty much portable code and nothing of that would use advanced techniques in from generic interpreter optimization space. My name is Paweł Belica, and I for many years I do EVMs. So let me go through briefly through like my history of working with EVM. I started quite early, even before the Ethereum has launched. And the first project I was working on with my colleague was EVM Jet. So it was a project that was supposed to prove that EVM can be executed fast. And it was working by translating EVM bytecode to LLVM IR, and then using LLVM tooling, it was compiling that to machine code, loaded to memory, and then it was executed as a native code. So the product died around 2017. I think it was mostly not interested in working on it and like using it. Although it proved a long time ago, that's doable, but I think the big controversy about can we actually use a compilation pipeline on like a consensus critical platforms. But what actually came out of the EVM project was EVMC, which was attempt to, and still is attempt to define the low-level API for EVMs. And it's actually for both sides, for EVMs and the clients that use these. And if one of the sites implemented, it can use like different implementations of EVMs, more like a way of as plugins work. And the third point here is other project, which originally was the CPP Ethereum, and it has like big C++ code base. It was one of the three implementations that started before, like as was the original Ethereum implementations. But there actually we also used the EVMC API and packed the EVM implementations from there into this API. So it's available as a plugin nowadays. And the last project is EVM1, which I started last year. And most of the things I'm going to present here are coming from discoveries in this project. So EVM1 is interpreter implementing EVM, and the key differences are it has pretty good 256-bit integer implementation, and it has also experimental efficient different way of counting gas and checking other constraints, and has like many other optimizations, kind of like micro optimizations, which are related either to C++ or maybe not, but I'm going to talk about the first two points here. And both of these were actually released in version 0.1 some time ago. So they were done on the same time. So So when we start with the when we want to start with the 256 integer implementation, so we can say it's critical from EVM point of view. It's like this the arithmetics EVM uses. So actually, I was kind of like not sure that this is the real case. It's like if it's maybe it's important, but maybe it's not so much. That was my expectations, but. By coincidence, actually, recently you had an option to actually place the original implementation of integer in Aleph interpreter, which previously was using Boost multiprecision. So Boost is a commonly known C++ library, some kind of standard library extension, and it's commonly used in many C++ projects. So I think it's nothing to be worried about in terms of quality and performance, but we have option to replace that implementation with int x implementation, which is the implementation I actually did for EVM 1 project, and at this point big thanks to some internet guy called Vstack who actually contributed all these changes. And the results look more or less like that. So this is like a zoom of the benchmark, small set of benchmarks I did, and we'll going back to that in the end. But simply by replacing the integer implementation, we can get around 3 times speed improvement here. This is a summary of some benchmarks I will show later. So it's like geometric mean of a small set of these to only have some kind of idea how the average usage of the EVM performs here. But if we go back to talking about this 256 integer implementation, and if you can refer probably to very overused 80-20 rule. So for if you want to implement integer, it actually works mostly like that. So 80% of your struggle is around division, which is pretty much complex to do. And anything else you want to implement there, it's pretty much straightforward. So by division here, I also mean reminder of the division or like modular operations and so on, because like the results of these actually coming from the same algorithm. But like if we like considering like short time we have here, if I can give a quick, let's say, hints how like how the I think the performing 256 bit precision integer implementation should look like. So these are some guidelines I have. So first of all, you can forget about any kind of fancy algorithm that show up somewhere in the space. So anyone knows like multiplication algorithm? Like that can save to some multiplications of the words. Any names? Okay, good, because they are not needed actually. So I mean, they work at a point when you actually have big numbers to multiply and so on. For the precision is actually quite small precision actually. Comparing to big numbers in general, so None of them are needed, and I'm pretty sure that's correct statement. But what I also did in X is I actually ignored all these like easy cases to handle at first, like when many implementations do. So even if you have option to figure out that the numbers you are multiplying are small, like they within 64 bits, I think it's not worth it to actually handle this case separately, because like it disturbs all the algorithm, and like you have additional conditions and branches to check. And pretty well, pretty much it works great if you just only focus on 256 bits. And the third thing I want to mention here is like first optimizations you can do is try to avoid dynamic memory allocation. So if you use any kind of generic multi-big number library that actually can handle arbitrary precision, which are not fixed on this compile time and anything like that, they will definitely use like dynamic memory allocation, because like it's unknown during compilation like what the size would be. If there's option to use fixed precision, but at this point I think it's worth it, because that saves you the memory allocation. Some libraries offer that. But I think I think we should go further here, and it's also like I'm sure I can easily explain that with visualization, but many of the big number implementations actually have keep the number of words they will later have in the number representation as a kind of additional information stored in the type, which makes the type bigger by this additional item, and actually that's so it makes it more or less 20. In our case, makes it more or less 25% bigger. And I think from like even the memory access patterns, it's kind of important to not have it, because if you have a type which is like the minimal possible size, which is 32 bytes, it nicely fits into cache lines and so on. And when you access stack items of this size, it performs much faster. And the fifth suggestion is try to understand that CPU has some kind of special instructions, let's say. I mean, they are not like obviously available from the high-level languages. So they can actually speed up addition and other operations and have either high precision multiplication, or can actually give you like high part of the multiplication and so on. And I think at least you should be aware that when you build a code in high level language, it's good to know if either compiler can give you access to these by using well-known patterns how to access them, or you might need to use some intrinsics to, for example, get access to high precision multiplication that your CPU probably have. And that was last thing in terms of the vision. I mean, I was actually struggling with the vision for a long time, because I mostly had to learn most of these. But this paper really helped me here. So this is a paper coming from GMP library, which is like a well-known big number implementation. And actually, it gives you like straight away, maybe it's not straight away, because the form is, it's described in this like mathematical form, so you still have to translate it into code. But I think it gives you almost full recipe how to actually implement that. And I did it. Still, GMP is faster here. but like not by some margin, because maybe they use they definitely use assembly directly as a way of speeding up. So maybe this like somehow compiler fault that it cannot like optimize the same way like some people did some time ago. But yeah, it was very hard to get. But if you like still a bit lost, so my suggestion is if you don't have other options, try to actually port the my code to other codes.
So what's the license on it?
It's Apache 2.
Awesome.
So I mean by porting I don't mean use it directly. In this case, this all this accessing C code by C API, I think it won't work very well. But we could try that. But by porting, I mean you can try to just copy it to other languages and make it build and try to actually use the same patterns if you don't know where to start from. So that was mostly about this integer stuff. If any quick questions now, I can handle them. If not, we will continue.
How big is the library?
I'm not sure exactly, but it can be, I think, between 1,000 and 2,000, I think, something like that. But this also like design is like this is done by using generics and like kind of how to explain it, like recursive design. So like you build 256 operations out of 128 operations. So and like I think like lots of like C++ craft around templates make it difficult. I mean like it increases line code, but I think it's not really complicated except for division. So let's go to the it's about let's say small innovation here and experimental way of counting gas and doing other things. I actually wanted to make it in written form, and there is a link to a draft or article I'm writing about that to explain it like. Maybe to read it later. So I just wanted to leave a pointer to it. But like if we consider it how EVM execution works, so it actually need to do it in two phases. So first one, at least needs to check where are the valid jump destinations. And in EVM, we actually put a bit more work into this pre-processing phase before the execution starts. So I will try to explain that by example. So we have a code, EVM bytecode assembly here. But you don't actually need to understand what it does. Actually, I tried to do it a bit like do something, but in the end, I realized there's one mistake here. So it's actually pretty stupid now. But anyway, what we want to do, and we will try to do what the pre-processing step is doing for EVM1. So we want to identify basic blocks. And basic blocks are the sequence of code that are kind of executed uninterruptedly. And this is coming from the compiler construction, and basic blocks are the sequence of instructions that are for sure executed in order, and then the basic blocks are kind of linked by jumps between them.
So number 5 should be the start of the basic block, right? It does not start with jump jumps.
Yeah, but still that's a good question, but yeah, so it will be seen in a moment. I think you're asking like where the basic block starts, and you're right that this is also the start of basic block. So we're actually looking here for the terminator instruction that actually adds the basic block, so either by being a jump or it actually terminates the EVM execution entirely, but it actually doesn't matter in this place. And the second group of interesting instructions actually have one of, only one in it. It's a jump desk which stores the basic blocks. And by using that, we can split this into basic blocks. This is like visualization of that with some gaps. So yeah, so we have like two splits here because this one instruction is after the terminator instructions. And here actually the both conditions are applied in the same case. But we can also find examples where jump desk is not preceded by any terminator, but still it creates a split. Okay. So can I have like 1 minute?
Yeah, wait.
Okay. And what we do here, we actually then having basic block, we can pre-compute the base gas cost of these instructions. But we can also pre-compute some stack requirements for that. And having having all these three values, during execution we can check these conditions only per basic block, and then it doesn't have to be checked anymore during execution. So this saves a lot of time during interpretation because we pre-computed some information and we don't have to check it for basic instructions as addition, multiplication, and so on. So all these three checks, the base gas cost check, stack underflow, stack overflow, can be done only at the beginning of the basic blocks. And then we can safely assume they are already checked and happily execute further instructions. And this mostly, is based on this fact that EVM exceptions are not are indistinguishable between the types. What actually the error happened? I mean, the cause do not know this information. They revert all the changes and consume all the gas. Yeah. Thank you.